Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First this morning, obviously, though, to Paris, where all eyes are now turning to Rashida Adeleke following Daniel Wiffen's 18th place finish in the 10k swim in the Seine. The Tallaght woman will compete in the final of the 400 metre sprint at 7 o'clock this evening, the first Irish female sprinter to reach an Olympic final. Big day for her, big day for her childhood club, and obviously athletics enthusiasts across the country. We are all going to be watching with bated breath as her feet leave the blocks this evening. We're joined now by Daniel Kilgallen, who coached Rashida until she was 17, and Cecil Johnston, PRO of the Tallaght Athletics Club, and also by our own Darren Frehel as well. Daniel, can I start with you first? She said after her last race that there were mistakes that she now wanted to try and correct. So what do you think she's going to be doing today to prepare?
Hi, Philip. I suppose Rashida and the level that she's at, there would have been a plan in place. Herself and her coach would have put a plan in place for the heat, for the semi-final. And I suppose maybe in her mind she didn't stick to that plan. I think that's what she meant by messy. Most of the athletes in the semi-finals were off their best. It could have been anything to do with the weather. It could have been to do with the warm-up track. There's a lot going on in that environment. So when she stepped off the track, that was probably her initial thought. Since then, she would have sat down with her coach again and looked through the race, assessed where they can improve, and made a plan for tonight's final. Very little would be left to chance at this stage, and they would have been planning for this for, I suppose, since the start of the season. Everything would have been aimed towards tonight at 8 o'clock in Paris.
So what do you think the shape of that plan is? There's four runners in here who have beaten her in the past, but several whom she could quite possibly have the beating of.
Yeah, look, it's hard for me to speculate on what her plan would be and what her coach's plan would be. But, you know, she will have her plan and she will aim to stick to her plan. The person, I suppose, that executes the race the best will probably be the person that will come out the happiest. Whether that's a medal, you know, when you look back at the start of this season, herself and her coach would have made goals and objectives for the season. Is a medal part of that? We don't know. So while we have a nation, you know, looking for a medal, is that part of their plan? She's new to the event. It's only her second, third year running this event. So what success looks like for Rashida at this point, only herself and her coach really and her inner circle will know.
True.
She has all the main players outside her. That's a little bit different to Wednesday's night semi-final, where I suppose she was being chased. She will do the chasing tonight, so that is an advantage for her.
Yeah, talk to me about that. She's lane four with who on the outside, who on the inside?
Yeah, so look, she has some really top players there. She has Polino in lane six. She has Nazir in lane eight, the girl who beat her in the semi-final. I suppose a surprise package has been the GB girl in lane five, Amber Anning. She is in the US system as well, and this season she has progressed steadily. I think it's good that she's directly outside her. Rashida would know her quite well. They would have came through the system. They're similar ages. They would have been on the European circuit as youth and juniors. They would know each other quite well. And I think if Rashida is watching her, that will take her up on the shoulders of the other.
Okay.
But once again, we don't know what the coach's plan will be. How did she recover the last night after the semi-final? It's an advantage that this is, you know, she's had 48 hours to recover. And I suppose the person that comes to the start line with the best night's sleep, that has recovered the best and that can execute their plan the best, gets a good warm-up, goes through the warm-up track in a good place, they're going to probably be the happiest.
But being in lane four with the people who are on paper at least better than her in her sights is as good a place as she could hope to be in that draw, is what you're saying, yeah?
Yeah, Yeah, okay. The best place you could be.
Did you think, looking at the last 100 metres of the last race, that she was missing some of that fluidity, that there was maybe a bit of stiffness or something going on?
Look, I suppose it would be easy to say that. However, I think the semi-final for Rashida, there's probably more pressure on her in that scenario than there will be tonight, because everyone wanted her in the final. It was a potential banana skin for the semi-final. If she finished third in that heat, if she finished fourth, she wouldn't have been in the final. Tonight, it's a different game. It's a race tonight. See who gets who crosses the line. That's the advantage. If she is in the mix in the last 100 metres, she'd be very competitive.
Stay with us, Daniel. I want to bring in Cecil Johnston, PRO of the Tala Athletics Club. You're in Paris, Cecil.
I am indeed, and good morning, Philip. Good morning, Daniel. Great to hear you.
Hi, Cecil. Actually on the How radio.
He's a man who always avoids having to do... He's a man who always tries to avoid doing radio or newspaper interviews.
Well,
he's due great credit for where Rashida is at this stage.
How many of you from the club are over?
Not too many. There's several here from the club, because as you're probably aware, the main majority of the club members will be gathering this evening at home in the clubhouse.
I suppose what I'm asking you, Cecil, is are there enough of you to make enough noise that she'll be able to notice you there?
Well, whether they're Tala supporters or other athletic supporters from Ireland, well, they certainly will be making noise here tonight. You'll probably hear me screaming around anyway.
We will, but it's a very, very big arena. Do you think that, if you're not down there at the starting area, that it's possible for an athlete to pick out little groups?
I could imagine. I know Rashida certainly acknowledged, the presence of the Irish spectators and their support for her throughout this competition,
Okay.
And I think she's certainly looking forward to it, and she knows that the whole country is behind her, and I think it's unbelievable. I know her mother and her siblings are here, and they'll certainly be as nervous as I am for the season's final.
Are you nervous?
I am, of course. For irrespective of at what level, maybe any of our athletes would be competing at, we always wish and hope for the best for them. And there's always that level of anxiety going into, and particularly at this level, my God, it's unbelievable for an athlete of her age, only 21 years of age, to get to an Olympic final. She's many years ahead of her. So to get to a final is just unbelievable.
What's happening back in Tala today?
The club will be gathering there this evening. All the club members, they were there on Wednesday night, I believe, and had a fantastic evening watching the semi-final. And I suppose they had their anxious moments, when she crossed that line there, with an automatic qualifying position there for this evening's final. Tonight, I think, will be a bigger occasion, because there's massive media attention. And I think athletics in Ireland deserves the media attention it's getting. And, I'm grateful that it's one of our athletes that's bringing that focus or that attention on athletics as a sport in Ireland. And it's a sport that's certainly developing and getting stronger in the last couple of years, and will even get stronger again going forward.
We heard that there are queues stretching around the corner down the streets of Kelly Harrington's boxing club, with people looking to try their hand in the ring. Are you similarly oversubscribed now in Tala? Are there many people looking to join?
There are indeed. There's lots of youngsters and families making contact for their children to join the club. And of course, every parent believes that their son or daughter will be as good as Rashida. But as we all know, they're few and far between the talent that she has, and I suppose with the support of the coaches that she's had, have brought her to this point in time. So she has worked hard, and as I mentioned the other day, she certainly worked her butt off to get here.
Daniel, when she first tried out, or when she first joined the club, she tried her hand at everything, and she was pretty good at everything that she turned her hand to. When did she decide, when did you all say, no, this girl needs to specialise in sprinting?
It was her first coach, Johnny Fox, I suppose, that spotted that she would be a sprint athlete. And sadly, Johnny passed away earlier on this year. And I suppose Johnny would have nurtured her and kept her in the sport. That's a dangerous age, 14, 15, they can drop out, they can find other things. She was playing a bit of basketball, she was doing some other events with Johnny, but it was sprints. She went to the European Youth Olympics in 2017 and she won a bronze medal or silver medal, I think, in the 200 metres and a bronze medal in the 4x100 metres. And I think at that stage, I think everyone could see she had the attributes to be a sprinter, but I think at that stage herself realised that she could be a force to be reckoned with. And in the years after that, she then started to focus on sprinting, and the other events, I suppose, took a back seat.
Just summing it up ahead of tonight, we are, as a nation at this stage, drunk on medals and our quest for medals. But we're also, thanks to your assessment of this, realistic about the scale of the challenge that she has ahead of her. Is bronze something realistic to hope for here?
I think there's 8 athletes in there with a chance of winning 3 medals. We've seen the last couple of nights at the Olympics in the 200 metres last night, the 400 metre hurdles last night, the 400 metre men's the night before. It's the person that executes the race and comes through. It is a possibility. She's in there with a chance. And until Wednesday night when she qualified for the finals, she wasn't in with the chance. She is now. And there's no better woman to take her chance. She's, since she was a teenager, she's been to, every major championship. She's won European Youth Olympics. She's been in this environment, obviously to a lesser degree, at the Youth Championships. She's won European Under-18s, European Under-20s. She's been, collegiate champion over 400 metres. The occasion, I don't believe, will get to her. What will probably get to her most will be trying to achieve the goals she set out for herself. She'll be her harshest judge, that's Rashida. So that's why she's where she's at.
Daniel Kilgallen and Cecil Johnston, thank you both very much for joining us this morning. Darren Frehel has been listening to all of that. And now the end is near, Darren, but my God, there's been something of interest for Ireland nearly every single day of this Olympics, which marks it out, doesn't it?
Yeah, Philip, and while you were speaking there, some more developments here from the Stade de France. The racing has started this morning, the morning sessions, and I have, do you know what? I won't spoil it yet. We had the 4x400 relay team, the Irish women, taking part in this one, Philip. And Rashida Adeleke would normally have been competing in this particular race, but because she had the 400 this evening, so she stepped out. So the Irish team consisted of Sophie Becker, Phil Healy, Kelly McCrory and Charlene Mosley. Would you like to find out how it finished up, Philip?
Please.
Let's join Greg Allen. This is the heat. So Charlene Mosley takes the baton and she has a lot of work to do. Take it away, Greg.
She will bide her time. She's finding her way blocked a little bit and she'll want to claim a place in the top three to be absolutely sure of a place in the final. The likelihood is that Charlene Mosley will have something here in the tank. She always finds something, but at the moment she was just balked that little bit and she has to find a way around the Canadian. And she has indeed, and Charlene Mosley doing what she does, bringing Ireland into the final of the 4x400 metres relay in third place. Nothing between them at the line, between first and third. Jamaica, the Netherlands, and Ireland. We're keeping good company in relay these days. Think about it. Jamaica, the Netherlands and Ireland. Netherlands are so strong in 4x400 meter relay. Ireland will have a place in the final, and they've done it without having to worry about whether or not they're a non-automatic qualifier or not.
Oh, there you go, Philip. This is big, big news. And
there's a result that kind of crept up quietly on the inside track, didn't it?
Well, literally. And the good news is, so we were the seventh fastest across those heats, so we're going to be in lane four for the final. As Greg said in that commentary as well, in pretty good company, the Netherlands, the USA, Jamaica, Great Britain. This is phenomenal. And perhaps, maybe, depending on how things go tonight and she comes through it okay, maybe you could add Rashida Adeleke into that team. Well,
that was
night.
I was going to ask you, are you allowed to make substitutions or do you have to stick with that composition?
Yes, you are. And you know, 8:15 tomorrow night Irish time, it's going to be one of those events that kind of finishes up the track of the Olympics. So it's great for us to have an involvement tomorrow evening, Philip. But you know what we're going to do? We have Jessie Barr standing by. She has just witnessed that at the Olympic Stadium. Jessie, tell us about
Darren, it. I think I'm still hoarse from screaming at those girls. That was incredible. And I think Philip said that they crept in quietly. There was nothing quiet about that performance. Oh my goodness. They came third in their heat behind Jamaica and the Netherlands. They ran a 3:25, just 3 seconds outside their national record that they won that silver medal at the Europeans. I'm looking at their splits here. There was a lot of question marks over whether the girls should run the repechage or should they rest their legs for this relay. And let me tell you, there was no issues in those legs. Sophie Becker opened her account out of lane in or out of blocks a 50.9 first leg. She was the fastest in the field by a second. She put the girls in such an incredible position, set up so nicely to hand over the baton to Phil Healy, who, as we all know, put a baton in Phil Healy's hand and she will run like a dog, as they say down in Cork. She passed on to Kelly McGrory, who is in place of Rashida. She may stay in place of Rashida. And then she passed on to Charlene Maudsley, who solidified that third place spot to qualify into that final. So first Olympic final for these girls. Some of them have been there on the mixed relay team, but this is an incredible result for these girls. When we kind of questioned, was there the strength and depth in women's 400 meter relay? We don't have any questions anymore.
Thank you, Jessie. Thank you. Well, Philip, what do you make of all of that?
That's the second Irish set of finalists in a sprint ever in Olympic history, well, our Olympic history. This Paris 2024 just keeps on delivering, Darren.
Ah, it does, Philip. And like, I know you guys were talking about Rashida Adeleke and, you know, her opportunity tonight. But if you look at the cold, hard facts of this and you know, we've been talking about the first female Irish athlete in 100 years of participation at the Games to make it to a sprint final to contest it. You know, if you look at it, only 6 Irish athletes in all time on the track and field, they have won medals at the Olympic Games. 6 Irish athletes, half a dozen in 100 years of athletics at the Olympics. You know, I think that stat pretty much speaks volumes, doesn't it?
I have very little time and an awful lot of athletes, Irish athletes, competing today to get through. Just very quickly tell us, when can we look at Mark English, Sarah Lavin and Kate O'Connor today?
Yeah, so Kate O'Connor is in action already. She's down the field in the women's heptathlon, so we're keeping an eye on her. She's just inside the top 20 there. Mark English is in action very shortly. Semi-final, one of the men's 800, then Sarah Lavin in the women's 100 hurdles. Those will be in the next half an hour, 40 minutes or thereabouts. We're hoping, we don't have huge expectation on Mark and Sarah, but we are hoping, you never know what might happen. The golf continues. Leona Maguire and Stephanie Meadows really struggling, I'm afraid. Leona Maguire plus 14 at the minute, Stephanie plus 8, just not going to plan at all for them. And a little bit later on then we have the track cycling as well, really exciting stuff at the Velodrome. We have Laura Gillespie and Alice Sharp in the women's Madison, and that'll be between 5 and 6 o'clock Irish time. And you mentioned Daniel Whiffen. He was 18th in the men's 10-kilometre marathon swim, Philip, and I'm not sure what his motivation was for doing it, but a short time after getting out of the pool, he was questioned about...
The river.
And what a river as well, but he was questioned once he came out of the river and congratulated on his first swim in the open water marathon, and he confirmed it was his first and his last. So there you go.
Why does that not surprise me? It did look like a particularly unique form of torture. What are we going to do to come down from all of this excitement? I think we're going to have to go and sit in a darkened room for a couple of days at the end of all of this. Darren, thank you very much. Good luck to you. We will keep an eye on all of those races throughout the course of this morning's programme. Coming up, though, after this break, Northern Ireland is braced for further unrest tonight. That's next.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.